and we're going to get started right about now. Broadcasting to you not quite live from palatial Main Tiltio Studios here in beautiful Edmonton, Alberta, for the education, elucidation, emancipation, enlightenment, and mental emolument of the Nipponist Decoy Boy, my name is Ian Horner, and this is DieCast. DieCast, of course, being a weekly podcast highlighting our favorite topics from Japan and Japanese popular culture from a Western perspective. So, joining me today, we have a good number of people. Some before, some you've seen before, some, well, no, you've all seen them before. So we'll start off coming down the line, the man with the golden voice, but the, I want to say, molybdenum.
Shitty acoustics.
Molybdenum
microphone.
Yes. Brendan Beachdeary from Olds, Alberta.
I got a new headset. It's wireless. I can poop while I'm podcasting.
Yum.
It's from Britain. No, it isn't.
Sounds about right.
It really is a shit brown headset.
Yeah.
Okay, and also joining us, wow, two people I forgot to completely add to the system here, so we'll just put up the Tiltios banner. Aaron Dearden.
I am me.
About 10 seconds behind.
Yeah, that's what we're going with. Okay.
Yep.
And, of course, he looks kind of like Beach, so we'll put him back up there. James Oikawa.
Delicious.
You see, James is also from the southeastern Alberta region, so therefore that must be why we look the same.
Yeah, it kind of works, I think.
Whatever. Yeah.
Oh,
racist.
Oh, my goodness. This is just horrible. So you got kids at home. You're just going to get the logo for the rest of the show because everything else is broken.
Unless the other two people want to email Ian pictures and he can try to work all this shit in less than 45 minutes.
Nope, that's not going to work this time.
All right.
Yes. So I think, you know, everyone out there is. I'm going to come out right here and say this. Everyone out there is sick of the earthquake.
Yeah, fuck you, Mother Nature.
Just simply in the fact
I'm
that
show you by ignoring you.
We have been talking about the earthquake for so long, and moreover, the people in Japan are probably quite sick of this earthquake fucking up their shit. So we're going to dedicate the rest of this show to looking at the, if we can, say lighter side of the horrible Japanese earthquake that has ravaged our fine friends and countrymen over in the land of the rising sun.
All right, first up, comical radiation burns.
This one's in the shape of an animal.
That's good radio.
Yes. Well, first up, we actually have, unfortunately, it seems like everyone's favorite geriatric governor that everyone loves to hate in Japan.
Oh, grandpa.
Ishiharu, more than just his usual hatred of fun in terms of getting all the people of the world together to fight Japanese animation and manga.
Can we say his hatred of anything beyond 1940?
Yeah, let's just call it that, because I think that was when his novel was actually printed. He's banning anime.
What? Like actual proper fireworks? Like you won't be able to go watch fireworks?
No, Hanami.
Hanami.
Yes.
Hanami.
The flower watch.
Yes, the flower watch. Even worse than Hanabi.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yes, this comes to us.
At least
if you banned fireworks, you could claim you were trying to stop explosions.
Yeah.
No, he just wants everyone to stop saying Tamaya, to say Ishihara.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what? That's awesome. I made a Japanese pun joke. I never thought I'd be able to do that, and I did. Now I can be part of a manzai group. So, okay,
then you can release a silly song on the Japanese top 10, and then I'll play it.
Yes! That's awesome! How I'll come on your show for once.
Well, explain the whole thing.
This
is Madden here. This comes from our favorite, basically the Fox News of Japanese information. or Japanese otaku information, Sankaku Complex. basically, what it comes down to, in a recent press conference, Ishihara, quote-unquote, had harsh words for those who might want to do something other than work or watch back-to-back earthquake reports on TV between blackouts. To quote Ishihara, "This isn't the time to be drinking and having fun as the sakura blooms. It's not the time for Hanami. We should share the pain of our fellow countrymen out of solidarity. During the Second World War, everyone held themselves in check and bore the hardships. We may have lost the war, but the solidarity of the Japanese of that era were truly beautiful."
And it's we should all hold ourselves in check, because we may have still lost the war, but at least no one had any fun. I don't really get what he's trying to say here, other than the fact that I don't like young people taking my favorite spot on Hanami.
I
sit down, kids. Stop having fun under my cherry trees.
I don't. Go ahead, Beach.
I was gonna say, what does it help?
Doesn't. It really doesn't.
It doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like Marge Simpson saying, "Don't do that. Don't do that."
Like a little cartoon squirrel.
No, this is really just a it's akin to actually a teacher saying that, well, if Johnny didn't bring enough cupcakes for everyone, then no one can have cupcakes.
Right. Or, you know, your parents saying that, you know, that kid in Africa's starving, so, you know, you can't have an Xbox.
I'd like you to explain that to me, but
you can't. Well, you can't eat that Xbox for dinner, or if you're going to eat it, you're going to eat all of it.
Aww.
Right.
Yeah. You asked. But that's basically what it is. He's kind of cemented himself as a political killjoy. And I mean, here's yet another. It's almost like he has a list of things, or maybe a dartboard that has a whole bunch of fun written on it. It's like, so what else can I come out of not in favor of this week? You know, like, what are things that young people like? Well, they like to drink and sing karaoke and, you know, and get out of their drudging, soul-crushing work that they have to do. And I'm saying young people in terms of, like, 20-year-olds, right? Because I really don't know how Hanami works in Japan. I don't know if there's, like, a lot of high school students that go out and do it. But, yeah, it just seems really weird to be down on something like this.
Well, this is a governor, actually, who has also gone ahead and been quoted, at least according to the Japanese press, the Asahi Press Club journalists, as saying that the earthquake was divine punishment.
For homosexuals? Please say it was homosexuals.
Well, yes, he also hates the gays.
Oh, okay.
For being greedy, apparently?
Yes. But this was divine punishment out of greed. The identity of the Japanese people is greed. The tsunami represents a good opportunity to cleanse this greed, and one we must avail ourselves of. Indeed,
you're right.
This is divine punishment.
Yeah.
By killing off all the old people, that makes sense.
Yep. Close that very successful shipping port. That's greedy. You know, if you're so worried about greed, the earthquake should have decimated Tokyo. That really is what should have happened. What is there to take away from the people? Really, what's there to take away from the people living up in northern Japan and in northern Honshu? You know,
wouldn't that be one of the least greedy areas of Japan?
It strikes me as one of the more traditional areas, right?
Like, yeah.
You know, it doesn't sound like it's a bastion of great worldwide commerce. It's another area where people live and work and enjoy themselves and have fun. And as we've seen, this guy's governor of Tokyo, right?
That's correct.
What the hell does this have to do? Like, he's calling for the entirety of the country to not have Hanami, to hate gay people, to, you know, say that greed is bad. Like, I mean, I don't think greed is very good, but it's kind of weird that is he running for something? Is he hoping to run for
He's
something?
Running for his fourth term, apparently.
Oh, Beige, it's like you're reading the articles in front of us.
I'm not nowhere near my computer. I'm 30 feet away from my computer. Yes. I can't see what's going on.
Oh, so you're just psychic then.
Yes, no, Ishihara has actually gone ahead and announced his intentions to run for his fourth term as governor of Tokyo.
Oh, God.
Or at least may run, at least.
Well, yeah. Well, with a winning platform like what he's putting out there, I can't see how he can possibly fail.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the guy that also wanted to ban all the have that his that controversial manga and anime law, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. We talked about that,
yes,
once. Didn't?
Well, we tried to, actually, but I don't know if we ever really got around to it. This is a law that did actually pass in Tokyo that anything that refers to minors being shown in a sexual situation or mature situation is now illegal and must be sold under pornographic rule, basically.
That's kind of a tightening of a rule or a tightening of a treatment that's already there already, I guess.
Well, no, because mature situations includes not just the sex, but mostly the violence.
Oh.
The immoralities like stealing and stuff like that.
Yeah. So basically any sort of mature themes cannot be discussed when showing children.
So by this law, things like Utena would not be allowed under this new rule.
Because they're high school students. Or Naruto, mm-hmm. because he's like 14 years old.
Or Evangelion.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's far-reaching and retarded. That's astounding.
So really, this guy is, moving towards a real policy of you must not have fun, period.
Yeah. Or, generate artistic expression or practice any sort of self-actualization. You know, do what I tell you. Vote me in so you can do what I tell you to do.
No, to be quite honest, I was really trying to look for an angle here so I could take the sort of a devil's advocate and actually have some in-depth conversation about this issue. And I really can't come to any conclusion that would promote that. This is just crazy.
He's just a crazy old man who's stuck in the Second World War, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's also a governor. So,
yeah, that's the dangerous part.
But that means people have voted for him in the past, right? Mm. And
yeah.
I mean, we talk about a lot of the stuff as if it's recent. So
yeah. Well, did he do anything worthwhile during his terms?
What are some of the things he's done?
That, right. We never hear about anything else that he might have done. We're hearing about all the negative stuff that, it admittedly, has a big effect on Western sensibilities.
I would assume that. I guess he's doing well at the generic day to day stuff.
I suppose. I don't know what you do as governor.
Not really that great of an accomplishment, but...
Well, you know, if you're competent at your job, you generally get to keep it. So maybe that's what's...
Yeah,
but politics doesn't work like that, so...
Shintaro. I am trying to look up his information on the Wikipedias here. Political views. Policies of governor, foreign relations, xenophobia, other controversial statements... Controversy comment about the 2011 Tohoku earthquake.
That'll have to get changed.
And yeah, he's cut metropolitan spending projects, including plans for a new toy subway line. Okay. He's imposed a new tax on banks' gross profits rather than net profits. He's imposed a new hotel tax based on occupancy. Imposed restrictions on the operation of diesel-powered vehicles following a highly public... Wow.
He seems to be saying no to quite a lot of things.
Proposed opening casinos in the Odaiba district.
Oh, there we go.
Declared 2005 that Tokyo would bid for the Summer Olympics, which discouraged Fukuoka bidding.
Hanami makes no money. Actually, Hanami is a great productivity drain on Japan, given how many people are interested in going out to enjoy themselves. And if it's a day of work, then obviously cutting a day of work. So I can see how casinos are completely in line, because casinos are something that you don't go to while you're supposed to be working. But even if you do, at least you're contributing to the Japanese economy. Because Tokyo is probably making all sorts of taxes off of those casinos.
Okay, but but
he's not phrasing the Hanami thing in terms of the economic angle. He's phrasing it in terms of the somberness angle, basically.
Yeah, we need to be more serious at this time. And it's like, it should be more of a call to, if there's something you can do to be helping the people at the time of this earthquake, then do that instead of going to Hanami this year. That would actually make a lot more sense, because it makes you look as if, like, I will be doing my part to, I will have to miss Hanami, which I really want to go to, but I'll be missing it in the hopes that I can accomplish something that will give aid to our struggling countrymen. That's about. That would be the best way to spin it. And I wonder if maybe that might have been the spin, and maybe this was lost in translation. I don't know. It seems that everyone's
maybe.
Yeah. It's. I don't really. I like going to Sankaku Complex. I don't know where they sourced that story from, and I don't know how it was interpreted when it was brought into English.
Okay.
So while I could definitely give a guy like that the benefit of the doubt, given his track record.
It does link the original article. Maybe yeah, we can get someone to translate it for us later.
It does appear to be linked directly to at least a Japanese source.
Okay. Well, it's probably
gg.com.
Yeah, I have no idea what the status of that is. But I'm going to actually pull that back around and say, quite frankly, at this time, aside from going up to, literally going up to the Tohoku region and volunteering directly for the Red Cross, aside from that or giving some money to the Red Cross, probably the best thing that Japan really needs to do right now as a whole is take a step back and decompress.
Yeah. One big collective breath to basically say, you know, those of us who can't do anything, it's like, you know what, at least our traditions are intact, at least our culture is intact, at least we as people are still intact. We can enjoy each other's company and we can it's almost because in the sense of when something like this happens, a rallying point can be as a natural disaster, a rallying point can be very, very beneficial. Mm. For a culture,
it's almost like saying it's almost like saying that in 2011, if after September 11th, George Bush had said, "Okay, everyone, the nation's now in a state of mourning, so do not go out and visit people you know, and enjoy each other's company."
Yeah, we have to spend a week mourning 3,000 people. That is 1% of the total population, and who probably most of you have never met.
No, not even that. Not even that. It's an idea of do not go out and realize, take stock of your life. Do not go out and be with the people you love. Don't do that.
Yes, that's a good point.
Just sit at home and be sad in the corner.
Yeah. That really
also, but they didn't do that. But they did the other thing where it was a little more of like, we'd like you to be afraid, but spend lots of money.
That's different. Well, I'm
being a little unfair, and
I'm a big fan of I'm a big fan of the whole idea of the terror sex that happened afterwards, which was but that
the affirmation of life.
But that okay, yes, that is those are the words I was looking for. The affirmation of life, and that's part of what this sort of thing is. It's not about having to go out and pump up the economy by going to a casino. No, if you go out and if you are having some drinks with your friends and enjoying the beauty of your country, if you can do that and you can go back to work the next day a better person for it, a more productive person, then isn't that good enough?
Yeah, and if you can do it in this specific case for this year, if you can go and do that in the wake of, you know, something that's happened, because maybe let's pretend you have family living in that region and they're undergoing some major hardships, and you've done what you can. You send them some money or you try to send them some food or something, and God knows if you can get anything in and out of there, but you can't go on site because it's just terribly impractical to try to go on site. But if you can, like, you know what, I'm going to go to Hanami, I'm going to spend some time with my friends, I'm going to, you know, do this, and I'm going to think about I'm going to think about the fact that, yes, I'm still alive, you know, and I'm still enjoying, I can still do things, and I can still interact and grow, and it gives you a little more, because the whole idea of Hanami in the first place is not only just to have fun, but it's to offer a chance for the, kind of the self-reflection anyway, because you're admiring the beauty of your environment, right?
Mm-hmm. That's so, ostensibly the idea.
Yeah. Ostensibly the idea, exactly. Funny thing that maybe people might start to get a little more in touch with what the original idea was back then as well. That's also a possibility too.
Mm. Well, you know, let's take this out. Not just it hasn't just been Tokyo, and it hasn't just been Hanami that's been seeing austerity measures start to creep into place here. I mean, we've already mentioned briefly the fact that a few of at least our favorite animated shows have stopped being broadcast indefinitely because of this so-called need to be austere and this need to be more serious. But it turns out that apparently also Kyoto University, which had a long-standing tradition of graduation ceremony, Yes, had a long-standing tradition
of graduating people.
Finishing their education.
That's bizarre.
Derp. Long-standing tradition of cosplay during their graduation ceremonies has decided that this is to be stopped.
Wait, hold on a second. Yeah. At Kyoto University, during their graduation ceremony, there's like people who cosplay, like the university mascot, or like
characters and Sentai characters, Char and Shishio
from what is it? Genshin.
Oh wow!
And this
and there's the guys wearing the weird horse jockey heads and. Someone is dressed as a cocoon or something. I don't know what that is.
And this is
a tradition?
This is apparently a tradition that's been going on for
I see the father from Gegege no Kitaro, the little eyeball.
There's people dressed as Super Sentai there.
Yep.
How long has it been going on, Ian?
Oh, that's a good question. I had looked it up previously, but
let's just say 100 years.
Yes.
150 years. This was started by the original emperor of Japan. Oh. Izanami came down from the heavens, danced around the maypole with Izanagi. Then they put on their char helmets and graduated. I don't know. I'm sorry.
I'm going with it.
There's the one quote here. It says, "The spirit of canceling everything in, quote, self-restraint over the whole nation is really pointless. In fact, it'll only backfire. If you keep robbing people of their pleasures, nobody will be able to recover."
I feel that goes a little far, but I do think they have the right idea of I think it's more of a thing of if you keep robbing people of their pleasures, you'll get a backlash where people will just start doing shit regardless. And they'll do it even more obnoxious.
Like, I'm kind of wondering how many people will show up in cosplay anyways.
Yeah, like one of the things about the Quake was that in America, if something happened like that, you'd see looting and pillaging everywhere. But in Japan, no, that did not happen whatsoever.
Okay, moving on here.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that not everything has... Not everything that has come out of the television in terms of austerity measures has been bad. So, back on the television, AC Japan has been putting together these PSAs instead of showing commercials, and it's really just these kids wandering around, walking back and forth, and from what I could see, playing around with these animals, who, oh god, are just representations of good manners in Japan. I think there's the arigato dog and konbanwa mouse. No, konbanwa the dog was the dog. Itataki mouse. Arigato usagi. The thank you rabbit. I've posted that to the chat here on the IRC. I'll post it to the Skype chat as well.
Konnichiwa.
Arigato. Because the good morning dog. That doesn't because Ohio Inu. I don't know how. Whatever.
Ohio Nagi.
Oh, so it's a good morning eel.
Yes,
it's a flying eel.
Okay, so
these are live action children. I'm guessing with cartoon animals.
No, this is all the
entire thing's animated.
Oh, beautiful! Okay.
It's that sub Crayon Shin-chan quality of animation. That's
quickly thrown together. To get on the
exactly, teaching kids the value of manners.
So what?
Here's the key.
Yes, please. I'm like, where are we going with this?
Where are we going with this? Well, thank God for Japanese otaku, because they came up with the idea of turning these people or these animals into giant robots.
Oh, sweet!
Yes, each one of them gets one. So,
so that happened.
Yeah. There's really no way to describe it other than seeing this tiny boy and girl split apart and turn into giant robots.
Oh, wicked.
And I've
they're like Voltron.
The children are like Voltron. I was trying to get through all of these earlier, and there's just too many of them because there's one pretty much for each animal. Some of them, like the Sayonara lion, have different levels of the Super Sayonara lion, the Alternative Sayonara lion, and Eternal Sayonara lion.
Eternal.
I haven't gotten to watch any of these yet, but I just looking at the thumbnails, I'm expecting greatness.
No, there's even a Sonic Tadai Manboru.
Ultimate Oyashina Sai.
That Hyper Ohio Nagi thing, that I'm kind of tilting my head at that one a little bit.
What's a manbo?
Oh, that's a sunfish.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, these are really cool.
That's how disturbing that's going to be for you.
Yes. Not a fan. That's, wow, this is, I love any sort of remix like this, where you take something innocuous and make it even, just turn it into something awesome.
No, again, just the sheer level of quality that comes from these sorts of things.
Yeah. Wicked.
People with too much time on their hands.
Or countries like ours that have not enough talent on their hands.
Oh, Jesus. Yes. No, we're miles behind the Japanese on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Colbert and his green screen challenge and stuff like that.
Is that the best we can do? Well, it turns out not. The best we can do is something like old episodes of The Simpsons, you know, from seasons 1 through 8.
You know, the good ones.
Back before it turned terrible. Well,
they started retconning everything.
Apparently, yes, there are nation states that feel the need to retcon these episodes of The Simpsons. Due to the ongoing nuclear incident in Fukushima, according to Japan Probe, European television networks in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland are censoring episodes of The Simpsons to remove any jokes about nuclear meltdowns or radiation.
So where does Homer work? An ice cream shop?
Well, he still works in a nuclear power plant, from what I understand, but according to this article, Austria's...
But anything... bad related to nuclear power is being removed, I'm guessing?
Specifically, two episodes have been pulled that were set to broadcast. Episode 66, in which Marge gets a job, which features scientists Marie Curie and Pierre Curie dying of radiation poisoning after turning giant and destroying a city. And episode 346, On a Clear Day, I Can't See My Sister, in which characters joke about a nuclear meltdown. Apparently, there have been the ORF has held back 8 Simpsons episodes until the end of April, when they'll review its Springfield disaster policy.
They have a Springfield disaster policy.
I think that's a joke that wasn't supposed.
I know,
to be
but even the context, even in the context of a joke.
Crazy. I guess the only reason to do that. Okay, here's why I think this is going on, because they're talking about unsuitable references to nuclear disaster, right? This is why I think this is going on. What's actually a really hot power source in places that are very highly populated, because you have a whole bunch of needs for electricity? Nuclear power, right? So if you start showing episodes of something that shows nuclear disaster, and then people draw parallels between that and what's going on in Fukushima, right? All of a sudden, you have people saying, oh my God, we can't have nuclear power here where I live, not in my backyard, because then everything will blow up. And look, I'll become giant and gain laser vision, which might not be as bad as you think. But I have a feeling that's probably what it is. Is somebody might have said, hey, wait a second, if we're going to preserve any sort of objectivity, we can't have a bunch of idiots having, you know, starting to make connections in their heads, you know, that I think that's what it is an overreaction, just to hopefully prevent anybody from saying, oh well, nuclear power is dangerous, I forgot about that, but The Simpsons reminded me.
Wouldn't this just draw more attention to it, this sort of measure?
Yeah,
because that's just going to ping people and be like, well, what do they have to hide?
I think that's a little bit far-fetched.
I know.
Thinking from that end, I mean, it's The Simpsons. It's never.
I know. It's just, you don't. The sort of stupid people that they're afraid of are going to draw connections, whether they like it or not.
Oh, absolutely. You, That's exactly what it is. If you have a bug up your ass about something, you'll find a reason to be angry about something. That's, in fact, why we podcast.
It's like, I don't think they're going to show, you know, Hereafter, which has a scene about a giant tsunami going to be playing in Japan right now. I don't think that will be happening.
Yeah, exactly. So I can understand why there's a bit of it sounds interesting to me to say, oh yeah, we're holding back 8 episodes of The Simpsons until the end of April. So it's not as if they're saying, we're not going to ever show it. Well, at least ORF isn't.
Yeah, we'll just wait till the stuff dies down and then we'll quietly put it back.
I would call this a bit of an overreaction, personally. There is nothing in there that is... I can understand pulling things from the television in order to be a little bit more sensitive to the Japanese. Hmm. So yes, right. Tsunamis, earthquake movies, probably a good idea to pull those for the moment, especially if they're going to show up on Japanese television.
Right. Right.
Jokes on The Simpsons about radiation that have nothing to do with meltdowns. Even the Curie joke, in fact, was a joke about research.
Yeah,
into nuclear materials, not at all about meltdowns.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just getting into nitpicking right there. That is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now I think the number of times that meltdowns have occurred on The Simpsons, I can count on one hand.
We've seen Homer walking out of the in one episode. We've actually seen him walking out of the secondary containment, glowing bright green, going, "It's in there, boys!" And the guys run past him. Thanks, Homer. You know, like we've seen that. Yes. I think that happened twice in one episode, actually.
And I think, quite frankly, that's something like that. Probably a great thing to see.
Yeah.
Plus, the opener of the show features careless use of plutonium or whatever it is every single time.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Or the episode where he gained a whole lot of weight and he had to plug the hole himself.
Yes. Again.
Again, positive. Nothing disastrous happened in those particular instances.
It's true. It's true. It's everything works out somehow. No,
nothing else. Yeah. You come on with a spokesman from TEPCO after the episode saying, "Ha, it's good to be able to laugh at these sorts of things, but when they're real, it's good to know that we have the best and brightest people of the nation on our side."
Exactly. While he's saying that, people are turning the channel to watch the other episode of The Simpsons that's on.
Yes.
Well, sometimes you do what you can.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I'll give you that much.
Yes. And while we're on the topic of doing what we can, it turns out that Swiddle, an impressive robot hand tool developed by factory equipment manufacturer Furukawa Kiko, seems to defy the laws of nature by picking up deposits of gels, sauces, and other soft semi-liquids without smearing them or altering their shape.
This was brought to us by Pink Tentacle, but actually I saw it first on Coincidence Circuit, thanks to Corey. It is spellbinding, I have to say.
Right, let's see this thing.
The Japanese have been doing all
they can. Oh, that's neat.
I don't understand exactly what the... Because you look at it and it looks like this spatula, like a big metal robot tongue sticking out from the bottom of a belt sander. But as they say in Pink Tentacle, they say it appears to incorporate a conveyor belt design. And when you, if they had a higher res thing, you could see it clearly. But it does kind of look as if that, there's a very thin belt that runs around the edge of that tongue. So when the tongue comes out, it actually causes the belt to pull in and come backwards a bit, which would then, of course, grab stuff that's there. But seeing it do things like pick up the remnant of a smear, like, you know, when you smear like ketchup on something and then you wipe it all off with a cloth, but there's still that very thin smear that's there because your cloth was just too saturated at that point. And you're like, nobody can really see it, but you know that it's there. It grabs that shit and then it puts it back
But Peach, it picks it up in the same shape that it originally was. It's like it's not disturbing it. It's like a force field somehow.
I literally thought these things were frozen and that it was on some sort of weird cooking tool.
But then they move it with a regular spatula.
Yeah.
You see on Food Network and they make those little frozen pancakes or whatever.
It's like it's turned it into a fried egg. Like everything's become solid in that sort of way, and then it picks it up like a spatula. Except it's
they show the regular metal scoop totally completely messing it up, and then the goop scoop comes.
How many times has this happened to you?
And it gets even the smeared stuff, and it's amazing.
So it's like, It's like, oops, I missed my hot dog bun with about a gallon of fucking ketchup. How am I going to get that onto my bun? Well, I have this $70,000 piece of equipment. I'll just deposit it on my bun.
And it makes perfect. That sound.
Yes. Now, as you're about to say, Ian, and I'm going to beat you
sort
to it.
Sort of a calmingly efficient sound.
All of us have been thinking the same thing. What do you use this for?
Yes. I can read here that it was originally developed for use in bakery production lines, but what do you use it for there?
Yeah, you know,
did you put down chocolate on a piece of waxed paper, the weird chocolate, and you pick it up, and then you put it on top of the donut?
Maybe, you know, it's involved with pastry making, and you need to keep the right exact shape. So if you don't touch it with, if you get it with this thing, it picks it up in that shape, and then it puts it down in that shape.
That actually makes a lot of sense because, you know, like think of a chocolate layer on top of a donut, right? But think of like a chocolate drizzle, like on top of profiteroles or something like that, right? Where you have a very thin line of chocolate that's kind of being like randomly drizzled over top of shit. But what if you could draw a design? But of course, drawing a design onto something that is completely, you know, completely bumpy and weird doesn't always work. But what if you had these things that could just come up, pick up the thing that was drawn, like very intricate design drawn on something flat, picks it up, and then you just – it brings it over to the cookie and then – and drops it, and it all kind of follows the contours of like the weird cruller or whatever the hell it's putting it on, but it still maintains its odd shape.
Yeah.
Even that, you could do that by just drawing it on with a fucking thing full of chocolate.
Thank you. Yes.
You know, you get all the way to that point where you're like, oh, but that would be so great. Except
but you could do it. You could do a mass production this way and still keep some kind of, you know, consistency.
That's a good point.
The only thing I could think of for this
is drawing it already, right?
Is what if you wanted to somehow create a crime scene off-site? Blood splatters and bits of, you know, human fecal matter, and then pick it up and put it down somewhere else.
Actually, no, that's
disturbing it.
Kind of an interesting idea, but again, you would have to be able to pick it up off of, because if you're, it's like, well, we want to get stuff out of a crime scene. I actually literally thought of this at one point. I thought, what if this was a good way to remove remnants of anything from a place where you don't want it, right? Yes, like there's stuff left over, but it only works on an extremely flat surface from what I can tell.
That's why this is only good for creating a new crime scene.
Yes, exactly. You can't transfer stuff out of a crime scene. Maybe, you know, you have to actually make blood spatter yourself.
If you were to actually, you know, kill someone inside of a tiled room, this would be perfect. You pick the blood right up off.
You'd have to commit a murder in like the set from 2001.
You're talking about one of my dreams here, but
yeah. Now, actually, I do have one, but I did think of one other thing: is that there has to be chemical production or some sort of chemistry-based application that this can be useful for. And try as I might, though, because I didn't take chemistry in university, and I you know, and we never did anything fun in high school. But I'm like, there must be something interesting in some sort of chemical engineering that could benefit from this kind of thing, where you need to get 100% of everything that you've just done off of somewhere. But it seems like it's only good for spills, because most, I mean, James, you'll back me up. Most guys who are chemists, you tend not to try to spill the shit you're working with. Am I correct?
Yeah, in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. So, but if you do spill it, you're also not going to go like, well, I better pick all of that up so I can put it somewhere else. You tend to just clean it.
Just dump it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm also of the impression, too, that this probably does not actually pick up the entire remnants of whatever you're dropping down.
Right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it's not picking things up at the molecular level.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. We don't know that, right? Like, we don't know what's going on here in terms of surfaces.
Yes, this is nanotechnology at
this
work.
This could be like carbon nanotubes and shit. This could be a carbon nanotube surface and a conveyor belt thing. Like, that's what really got me. I'm like, this is a really cool use of technology that all it's doing is just, you know, ketchup and mayo goop right now. But maybe it's like you know, near frictionless surfaces. Maybe that's what we're seeing here, and we don't really get it.
Well,
and
maybe these will be the devices that pick up the human spooge when holodecks are invented.
Maybe you can use this for, I don't know, doing 3D printing out of caramel.
I like to think that the things that will actually, like, spooge in holodecks won't actually be picked up and removed or cleaned. It'll just be vaporized. Like, oh. It'll be turned back into energy or something, because they can do that with the transporter, right? So you'll basically, yeah, if you spooge on the holodeck, they can just use that and turn it into something else, like a lamp on the holodeck. It's just my spooge lamp, you know? You started it.
Well, I know, I did.
With that, then
sex-powered enterprise. It's going to happen someday. It might already have in somebody's weird fantasies.
It's 1,400 people just fucking it across the galaxy.
What do you think those biofuel gel packs in Voyager are made from?
It was made from the same gel they use in Enterprise.
And with that, folks, I think we're going to bring this show to a close. So, aside from a spooge-filled holodeck, James, where can people find you?
You can find me on twitter.com/radiowasabi and Sunday nights at 11 p.m. on World FM 101.7.
Excellent. And Aaron, when you're not cleaning up strange piles of goo, what are you up to?
Well, you can always find me at twitter.com/AaronCerise. That's Cerise is in the French word for cherry. And at the modernday.pirates.com/pirates/Aaron.
Excellent. And everyone else out there listening on the internet, stop masturbating and follow Beach at
Tux Beach on Twitter. And also come to synaptic-chaos.com to get your latest load of Synaptic Chaos Theater news. We'll be at SacraCon this year over the Easter holiday. That's in Seattle, Washington. Definitely come down and check us out if you're in the area.
My name is Ian Horner, entering the refractory period before the next episode that we record, saying, the die has been cast.